Titus, 2 Thessalonians, Ephesians, and Colossians, and one that he definitely did not write was Hebrews. It says so right here. So this means our reading today, Paul to Timothy, wasn't actually from Paul. In fact, it was probably written a good 50 years after Paul. And there are two reasons we know this. Paul typically wrote to a group, a community. And here Paul is writing to one person. And he's also writing to someone who has been ordained in the early church, like a deacon or a bishop or an elder. And according to Pauline scholar Pam Eisenbaum, in her book, Paul Was Not a Christian, Paul's letter indicates that he has no interest in establishing institutionalized authority of this sort in the early church, but instead recognizes that all people had different gifts and talents, and thus he recognized that people could be assigned different roles and responsibilities in the church. Paul did not establish a hierarchy. He did not ordain people to pre-established offices, and rather he allowed people to evolve organically into certain roles. And it's ironic that the person that we kind of hold up as one of the founding fathers of the church really wasn't interested in an institutional religion. Instead, he acknowledged and implored people to take on specific roles, that each had their own ministry in the life of following the way. But that demands further conversation. For our purposes here, we note that Timothy was not written by Paul. But Paul was probably a pseudonymous author. Do you know what that means? You do? Do you? Yes? Yeah, pen name. Exactly right. And it's usually done by someone who was probably an apostle of Paul, who thought that he could take his name in vain because he had respect for him, and assumed that if Paul had been present, he probably would have written this letter to Timothy in the way this was written. This particular letter is considered a pastoral letter in that its purpose is primarily to provide support and care to any of those who would read it. So what is written and what is said, actually? Writing as Paul, this author infers two important aspects of his situation and the situation of the community to which he is writing. First, it is clear, if you continue in the story, and I know that you will once you get home, that he is writing from prison. We are to assume that his imprisonment will soon lead to his death, as it actually did with Paul. He speaks of being a prisoner of Christ in that it is because he has stood firm in his call and his message and his faith that he has been imprisoned and eventually will be martyred. It says, "For this gospel I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher, and for this reason I suffer as I do, but I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust." And secondly, he goes on to say to this community, the community that is struggling to stay faithful in the wake of being abandoned or threatened or betrayed, "For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline." The writer further offers more encouragement when they say, "Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and the love that are in Jesus Christ. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us." Historically, we know that many followers of the way, members of the early church, were persecuted and martyred. This particular letter is offering support in the midst of the fear of what it means to follow Jesus. This particular letter is telling those on this path to hold on and trust the treasure, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and not to be ashamed of exhorting the one you follow, even in the midst of threats and abandonment. A couple of weeks ago, even before the article in the paper and the TV spot, folks started noticing our BLM flag. And to be clear, it's not uncommon, as I said, for there to be anonymous calls left on our machine admonishing our signs and our flags, which stand for the least of these. The week the article and the spot came out, however, there was a rash of emails and calls, mostly negative, as our detractors came out of the woodwork. Additionally, the comments left on the Gazette website and KRDO were less than kind, often threatening and most definitely not something we'd want to repeat in any company. However, there were also positive emails, and we had at least 20 people last week show up for worship in solidarity for what we were doing. I started to think, in light of this week's reading, that if this isn't similar to what happened to those in the early church who stayed courageous and unashamed of their faith and stayed true to the message, and if so, what might Paul or a ghostwriter have said? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of our beloved, to the Vista Grande community. Beloved children of God, grace, mercy, and peace from our beloved upon you all. I remain so immensely grateful to the Holy One when I remember you constantly in my prayers. Knowing of your uncertainties and your fears in the midst of those whose faith wavers. I wish I could be in your presence so that you remember the joy that comes to those whose faith remains steadfast in such times of turmoil. I want to remind you that you too have been summoned to live into the love and the peace of Jesus Christ, and for this reason, I beseech you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you. For our beloved did not give us the spirit of cowardice, but rather the spirit of power and the discipline to remain faithful. Siblings, I know there are some who would challenge your faithfulness, calling you ungodly or senseless or exclusive. I know there are those who would threaten to do you harm for standing up for all of our siblings who have been diminished in the sight of our God. I also know that your own kin would try to shame you into believing that you are subverting the gospel by insisting that the true gospel calls into being our obedience to the will of God and not to the will of the populace. That the true gospel demands our repentance, our restoration, and our reparations for those who have suffered injustice. Remember, your suffering is suffering for the gospel, for the life it offers others, and light for all. Your trepidation is an example of the fear those who have had no voice experience every minute of every day of their lives. Remember this experience as one of solidarity with those whom our God has called us into relationship. Remember my family in Christ. Do not be fooled by those who would claim that one act of forgiveness to be an absolution for all infractions laid upon others. Stay firm in your commitments to take responsibility for your own actions and for your siblings' welfare, providing for their needs and asking for forgiveness in the wake of any complicity you share in their suffering. Thank you. Trust that you are behaving in a manner that is pleasing to our beloved, even when there are those who insist God would be displeased in your steadfastness to to guard against justice. Do not fear those who would mock you or your commitment to the gospel, or who would corrupt the life and message of our brother Jesus for their own self-serving needs. Those who would use Christ's words and life to assault another have no understanding of the love God has for all people. Do not let the harsh words of another impede your quest to exhort the gospel, but rather summon the courage the Holy One has bestowed upon you to continue preaching the gospel. In the presence of God and our sibling Jesus, I solemnly urge you to continue the work you have been called to do by rededicating your community to the ministry to which you have been called. Proclaim the message. Be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away. Always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and carry out your ministry fully. And know, dear siblings, that you are beloved in the eyes of the Holy One. May the grace and peace of our God continue to hold you and strengthen you as you go forward in your ministry. May you know that our God looks upon you favorably this day and all days as you renew your covenant with all those who suffer due to injustices in this world. And may our God bless you and keep you all of your days. Amen.